know, it's just a joy to be here, isn't it? Just refreshing. Amid the trials of the days, things in the world, things we face every day, isn't it relaxing, a joy to come to the house of God, where that we can worship God, where we can obtain spiritual food, where we can be with those that feel exactly like we do, traveling toward the same place that we are, that we might encourage one another. We have visitors with us this morning. We're happy to have you. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, I say that from a human standpoint, not a spiritual, because from a spiritual standpoint, you're part of us. And so we're glad to have you. If you're from distant places or near, we're happy you're here. I trust this morning that I will be able, with the wisdom that God has given me, to teach you a lesson that will be good for you and for me. When I started thinking about this lesson and got it up, I had myself in mind, really, because it applies to me. After I got up yesterday morning, I'd gotten it up over the week, and I got up yesterday morning and I thought of something and I'd add to it. And so we'll do that at the end of the lesson. Jesus here sets us a good example. Satan is our enemy. He's one that will endeavor to keep us from the Lord, keep us from doing all of those things. That's his nature. He's against Christ. He's against God. On the text that I asked Kent to read and read very aptly, we find that Jesus done something at the very beginning that you and I have to do all through life also, in the very beginning of his ministry. Here he was tempted of Satan. Three times there he asked him to do different things. And on all of these occasions, Jesus used, in a sense, a word that people today cannot use. That's the word no. Let's think about that. No. Isn't that true today? So we're going to study that this morning. Can I say no? When I would be tempted as Jesus was here, and I want you to know that Jesus was human. He had that flesh. He was the Son of God, yes, but he's also the Son of Man, as Scripture says. So we think that Jesus set us a good example here. Now, in doing this, we find that he clearly points out to us how we can consistently say no. Notice the things that he was tempted with. He had not had a bite to eat in 40 days. He was hungry. Most of us, if you're like I am, by the time the next meal comes, you're fairly well hungry. But if you have to wait a little long, then you really get hungry. Remember when I was a boy, we used to go out to the field and work. Be out there by daybreak, work till noon. Mother would stand up, and when she had the meal ready, she had a white cup towel. She'd wave, and we'd see it way down there. And we knew what that meant. And I know lots of days about, must have been around 11 o'clock, us boys, there's five of us, we'd get watching for that flag, that white flag. We were hungry. And when we come in, we could really lay it there. But think about our Savior here. His body desired that food just as ours did at that time. And the Scripture says that he was hungry. Old Satan knew exactly where to tempt him. And let's begin our lesson now and notice some things that he said to him. Now, the first thing that he tempted our Savior was, in verse 2 it says, after he was hungered, then the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, here's what Satan knew. Satan knew that Christ could. He was able that he might speak the word and that that might be made bread. You know, he was capable of doing that, and he could have done that. But he didn't do that. He just declared to him that what the Son of God said and so forth, and told him what had come out of the mouth of God. Well, you know, that was something to really tempt him with, because here was a man now that was really, no doubt, hungry. And here was an opportunity for Jesus to show his power, wasn't it? This was an opportunity for Jesus to show his power. Why, right there before Satan spoke to that stone, be bread, that was showed his power. But our Savior didn't yield to that because that would be submitting unto Satan. Now, no temptation could have been more likely to see it at that time. Can you think of anything the Savior had been tempted with that would have been more tempting than that? That he was hungry and make these stone bread. Now, if you have this power, how easy you could satisfy your wants. Now, what Satan said, you're hungry, your stomach's empty, you want food and so forth, and nothing will satisfy it anymore. Isn't that a temptation? Now, if you'll just fall down and worship me, you can do that. Now, how foolish for the Son of God, having all power. Now, here's the way Satan looked at it. How foolish it is that you've got all power. You have all of these things. You're starving in this manner. It's foolish for you to do that, no doubt, Satan thinks. And so by your word and your power, you might relieve those wants. Isn't that a great temptation? He knew exactly where to tempt him at this time. Well, we find here that Jesus now, he just simply says now, that's not true. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to submit to you. Now, it quoted here from Deuteronomy 8 and 3, he said, man does not live by bread alone. And Satan knew that, of course. And so Satan's temptations appear to be okay. What's wrong with that? Would there have been anything wrong with him eating bread? Why, certainly not. Would there have been anything wrong under normal conditions for him to turn that stone to bread? Why, certainly not. However, because Satan was one that said it, that made it wrong. So Satan now, he made this appear to be okay. He made it look like it would be all right. And that's exactly what Satan does. He does us that way. He makes it appear that it might be all right. Well, we find further now, he was urging us to do that which is good and proper. You know, oftentimes, Satan does that. And sometimes he urges us to do something that really maybe within itself is not wrong, but the consequence of it, the results of it, and what it does make it wrong. So that's the way Satan works now. So ever keep that in mind. Sometimes we're tempted things. In their appearance, they appear to be okay. But there's things connected with it and so forth that makes it wrong. And so that's what Satan here tries to do. They seem even to urge us to promote the glory of God and to honor him. How many things does Satan do today and try to get people to do that would honor God? It appears to honor God, but actually does not, because it's not pleasing God. Think of the different things in the world today that Satan tries to get religious people to do that would honor God, that does not please God. Now, in our eyes, in our way of thinking, not a thing wrong with it. But in God's eyes, because he's told us how to do it, that would make it wrong. So the first temptation now that he said no was, he actually said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he says, no, I cannot do that. Well, the devil was not quitting. He was not stopping there. Then the devil taken him up to the holy city and sent him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now this second temptation he comes with, he said, now you can prove that God was protecting him. Now Satan says, what you can do here, you can prove that God is watching over you. You just cast yourself down. Now if God is watching over you, it won't hurt you. It won't bother you at all. You can prove that. Well, here again, he was tempting him. Well, he was trying to do this now in order to get him yield here. Now, how much more easy this would be than to suffer persecution? Now you've been suffering persecution. You haven't eaten. You've persecuted all this time and so forth. And how much easier this would be. You have want. You're fatigued. You're given out. Poverty. Death is going to come. It's going to be that. And you could be recognized Messiah. You don't have to go through that. You just cast yourself down. That'll prove that you're the Son of God because he'll save you. Now that way, that looked nice, didn't it? That looked good, didn't it? But no, Christ didn't accept that. He says, now, there'd been not a better place. What he tells me, look at all the people here. Look at all these Jews. Look for your coming. Now, you can prove yourself right now, and you won't have to die. That's in essence what he said. You just prove this, and then you won't have to. And so it tempted him in that better. Now, there was not a better place that he could do it. Now, we find that Jesus answered no, because the scriptures say in verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, God has protected us. And somebody might say to me, say, well, Edwin, if you believe God will protect you under all conditions, go out here on I-35 and sit down on the center stripe. Just sit there. You don't have to worry. No truck will ever hit you. God will protect you. You see what Satan does? You see how he would do that? Well, I know better than that. You know better than that. We've got to do our part and so forth. Well, that wasn't enough. Now here it comes. And it told him now that it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, Satan wasn't satisfied. And again the devil taketh him up in exceeding high a mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith him, now get it, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. There's that temptation. Look here, Messiah, Jesus, and he believed he was the Christ. Look at all these things. Look at all this. You've come to be an earthly king. So the Jews think, you've done that. Now, I have control of this. And God has given him control. God is over everything, but Satan controls this whole world in the carnal nature and so forth. He controls it. And here's what he says now. All this I will give thee. It'll be yours. Isn't that something? I wonder today, when we have all the things we have, all this modern things, all this world has advanced in the last 50 years. It's just unreal. 50 years ago, I would never dreamed when I started preaching that man would have all these things out. In fact, the first time they ever talked about going to the moon and driving around on the moon, I actually said it. I don't believe man will ever do it. But he did. He did. God permitted it. And you know, if we could see all those things. Now, you don't have to go through all this persecution. You don't have to die. You don't have to do those things. But you know what Jesus said to him this time? I want you to get it now. Said him, get thee hence, Satan. Go away. Get away from me. Go behind me. And so forth. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I want you to know, friend, this morning, that Jesus set us a perfect, a good, a powerful example whereby that we as children of God, we can say no. And oftentimes, that's the hardest thing we have to say. The hardest word we have to use is just simply to say no when all these things come. Now, Satan regards Jesus as the king of the Jews. So, Satan supposed Jesus come to take possession of all that country. They come to take possession of that. That's what he was. Jesus was poor. He was unarmed. He was without followers, without armies. Satan proceeded to put him in possession of it all at once. Without any difficulty, he would trust in him rather than God. Jesus boldly says, get thee hence. What today, if a man come up to me and he said, Edwin, the government did, all armies did, and said, we'll protect you. All the countries the world have agreed to protect you if you'll deny Christ and let us protect you instead of Christ. Will you do it? Could I say no? Jesus could, and I could too, because I believe that. See, so it's hard, isn't it? when he tempted him so great of things. Now, let's proceed further in this study. We have a case in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to read it. You're familiar with it, no doubt. And that was Samson. It's in Judges 16th chapter. If you'd like to turn over there, we're going to kind of paraphrase here and give what it says and just read a verse now and then. But it begins there with verse 1. And this case of Samson, and notice what happened to him when he couldn't say no. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went into her. Think about that. Saw a harlot. When he saw that harlot, he didn't have to go in. He done it on his own free will. He could have said no. He could have turned his head. He saw that harlot. Then in verse 4, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now that's the first thing. He saw that woman. He loved that woman. Well, she asked Samson in verse 6. Notice what she said to Samson now. She said, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, Samson was a strong man. Pull down walls, all those things. She come to him, and she asked a question. Where does your strength lie? You know, Samson couldn't say no. He couldn't say no. And I'll tell you what. That would have stopped the whole thing right there. That very first time, if he had said no, that would have stopped it. But he couldn't do it. Well, what did he tell her? Verse 7, he told her green cords that were never dried to bind him. In other words, take these green cords, bind me, and that'll do it. Well, you know what happened when he said the Philistines are coming? Why, he just took it and he just broke them. Just like this, nothing. He done that. Well, she told him, said, you mocked me. You've mocked me. You shouldn't do me that way. Then verse 11, he told her again. Next said no again. Buddy come right back. Bind we new ropes that never were used, never occupied. Bind those new ropes. Well, when the Philistines come, boom, broke them. There it is gone. Well, he here then, she told him, said, you've lied to me. You haven't told me the truth. He told her, weave the seven locks, verse 13, of my head with a web. Weave those locks, getting closer. Yet could not say no. Well, when he done this, you know what happened? He just come loose from it, so forth. Then in verse 15, she said, how can you say you love me when thine heart is not with me? Oh, how can you say that? Had all these opportunities to say no and couldn't say it. And said, now, how can you do it? Now, 16 said, she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. She here just kept after him. As our common expression says, she just nagged him to death. Yes, sir, just nagged him and nagged him and so forth. And after a while, finally he told her, no razor has come upon my head. Well, she kind of believed that. She just believed that was it. And he went to sleep. And she called him. His hair was cut off. And when the Philistines come, he was helpless. All because he could not say no. All because he could not say no. Isn't that typical? Isn't that very typical? And after all this is done, she caught him asleep on her knee and rolled, called upon to cut off the seven locks. And, of course, we know what happened to him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the reason today. I firmly believe it's my duty and my responsibility to warn people because I've been along that road. I've been along that road. Not only that, but what the Bible says. The very first occasion of being tempted, say no. The very first occasion of being led astray, say no. The first thing that comes that causes you to leave Christ, say no. Don't say, well, I'll see what happens. After a while, just further and further and further. I want you to know, there's no person that has ever rejected Christ that intended to reject him as far as many have today. They just haven't done it. Now, I want to read from James, the first chapter. And let's notice how this works. Now, these are scriptures we're giving you. That's mainly what I'm going to do this morning, is just give you these scriptures, talk about them a little, and point out to you just how this can work. Notice what James says now. In verse 12, we'll begin there. Very familiar, but let me look at them. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he receives the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Notice those steps first of all. We find, first of all, that he's tempted. He's tempted. Then that lust within him, that desire within him, he's tempted of that, and he desires it. And then he's enticed. He's enticed. And then when he's enticed, he yields to sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now what Satan does, he tempts us with something great. For example, he tempts us with different things. He tempts us with money, luxuries, things of this present life. He does that. Then there's a desire to have that. And then it's shown to us, we're enticed by it. And then we yield to it. Now the first time is say no. Say no. Now, there's certain things I don't do. I don't feel like within myself that they're wrong. And I feel like I could probably do them and not do wrong. However, for what it might lead me to do, I don't do it. Because there's things in there connected with it that can lead you to do things that are wrong. See? And that's that word that is placed there. That temptation is placed there. It's not placed there where I can see it. For example, if I could see that when I was tempted to take one small drink of alcoholic beverage, if I could see that that might lead me to the time when I would be an alcoholic, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. However, if I'm around the boys, so to speak, or in a party or something, rather than feel that people think me odd, I do it not to make them feel that way. It could cause me to do that. Therefore, I would not do it. See? That's true with other things. And that's the reason that I warn you and I talk to you about it. And you think I'm just hard and just rash. But that's what I'm talking about, folks. That can lead to it. That's the reason I tell you, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Because that temptation can be there. It can. And there's been things that I was doing that I didn't think wrong. But I saw some things come up as a result of it. And I said, I'll never do it again. Why? I could see that it was causing me to kind of slip. And Satan, we've got to learn to say no. We've got to learn to say no to people of the world. Now, we must stay away from those places where we might be easily hooked. You know, there's places you can be easily hooked. I've told you this before. Brother that was in the church when I first went to Chapel Grove, Tennessee, back in the 50s, and he had been an alcoholic. Come to the point, was in a rehabilitation place, and his cronies would slip him liquor and drink. And his wife told him, I want to tell you something. Said, the next drink you take, that's it. I am gone. I'll never live with you again if you take another drink. He said that really shook him. And he never took another drink. After he quit, he come back to church, was really a zealous man, really worked. Saw one of his old cronies one day as highway patrolman. And he asked the fellow, said, what are you doing? He said, I'm highway patrolman. Oh, said, you shouldn't took that job. Why? What's wrong with that? He said, when you find somebody and you think they are drinking, if there's a bottle in the car, if there's anything around, you've got to smell it. If you've got to taste it, prove it. And said, that will bring that desire back to you. Well, a fellow said, you know, said, it does. He said, you're right, it does. You see what I'm talking about, folks? Now, that's what it can do. That's the reason shun the very appearance of evil. That's the reason we have to learn to say no. And that's the reason we should. Now, Christians should never go to any place where there's possibility that they may be tempted to do wrong. I want to tell you something, folks. I was glad to tell you, I was glad you was here this morning. I'll be glad to encourage you to come back, because I want you to know when you come to this assembly, there will not be anything here that will tempt you to do wrong. Not as far as we are concerned. Now, some person may not be dressed as should. Some may flirt. Some may do this, that, and the other. But we as a congregation, that's not the purpose, and that won't be offered here. You see what I'm talking about? But I tell you what, if it's a place out here that might cause you to do wrong, and the possibility should. Now, do not associate with those who might influence us to do wrong. Anybody that wants me to do wrong is not a friend of mine. I don't care how much he acts like he is. He's not a friend of mine if he don't want me to serve the Lord. We should also shun those which do not know what is right. Now notice closely. Satan must call us away from our place of safety before he can induce us to sin. Satan got to call us from our place of safety to induce sin. Our place of safety is in Christ. Safety is in God's word. It's in our heart. And Satan has got to call us from that to cause us sin or tempt us to sin. His first aim is to draw away from our spiritual defenses. Here is my spiritual defense. Here is my spiritual defense out here. All my Christians, oh brotherhood, they're my spiritual defense. All Christians, my spiritual defense. This word here is my spiritual defense. He's got to call me away from that to cause me to sin. Young people, we missed you Wednesday night. But I tell you what, we were so thrilled that you were so interested that you'd go up here to be with Christians up here at Crescent. Some will be gone over the 4th of July. They'll be missed. But we're so thankful that you're going to a place where there's Christians. Young people's meeting, gospel meetings, all those things. There's the place of safety. And I'll tell you what, Satan, it's hard for him to draw away from that. But I'll tell you what, if he can get you over here where the Christian is not and where these things are not, brother, he'll work on you. He'll work on me. Can we say no? No, so many times we can't. Few drawn away from that which is good, stop there. Few do that, stop there. Some do, thankful for that. Soon they advance to an active evil. Well, we pointed out several things here that people can't say no to. But you know, there's another side of that question. There's some things people can say no to. Do you know that? There's a few things that people can say no to. And there's a few things that people that claim the love of the Lord can say no to. What am I talking about? Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Again, verse 3, notice it. Endeavor and keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even to call one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in y'all. I'm going to start with one God and Father of all. Did you know there are people that can say, no, there's no God? Yes, sir. The atheist says there's no God. The scripture here points out one God. There are people said, I have another God. Some don't say that, but they do. They have some man that's over them. They respect him as much as they do God. Yes, sir. These people say no to that. No. There's one Lord or one Jesus, one Messiah, one Christ. Oh, people say, oh, no. Oh, no. Jesus is the only one. Men have come over the years. Muhammad, all those fellas. Joseph Smith, all those men. They claim that God's revealed them as did Jesus. No, they can't say no. I can say no. I can say no. There's just one. And I can say no, they're false. Why? Because what the scripture says. But a lot of people can't. One Spirit. Oh, they say, oh, I had a different spirit. I've got this spirit and that spirit and so forth. And they can say, no, no one spirit is more than one. They can say one hope. Oh, we're all going different ways. We all have hope. He said there's one hope. What's that in Christ? And I'm going to tell you something, folks. In the day of judgment, when we stand before God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and when we're judged, we have one hope, and that's in them. I won't answer for you. You won't answer for me. I can't help you. You can't help me. But a lot of people don't believe that. They believe there's other ways. One hope. Says further, one baptism. But some people say, oh, no, there's more than one. The Bible says, he that believeth and baptized be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, miss your sins. Whereunto baptism will also now save us. A lot of people say, no, no, there's more. What does Scripture say? Isn't it amazing how people can say no? Now, some things they can't, worldly things, but they can say no to God's word. He said there's one baptism. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. And Peter told those people what to do. Can I say no to it? Huh? Can I? Well, he says further here, one faith. That faith's an obedient faith. And James says, not by faith only, an obedient faith. Can I say no to that one faith, that one word? Says there is one body. Can I say no, there's more than one? Can I say no, there's not just one body? Man does. Man does. What is the body? Verses 22 and 23, the church, which is his body. Colossians 1, 18 and 24, for his body's sake, which church, has the body of the church. But man can say no. No, there's more than one. Well, what does God say? He said there's one. I thought something else quite interesting. We usually use it every Sunday morning. We're to worship God, John 4:24. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Can I worship God in the way that makes me feel the best? Folks, I hear that. I hear it now. I hear it. We try to listen to just newscast, and there's a preacher that comes on, and sometimes during the commercial, invites you to his church and said, well, we offer both. We offer spiritual and we offer fun. We offer pleasure in this. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said truth. Worship thee in truth. Worship thee in spirit and in truth. Can we worship any way we want to? I hear it all the time. Worship God in the way that makes you feel best. Well, is that correct? When he said he must, that's not a, he said must worship in spirit and truth. And that's very important. Now, I want you to notice this one closely. In 2 John 9, that's 2 John, Epistle of John, by John the writer, 8th and 9th verses. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If I abide in the doctrine of Christ, do I have God? Yes. If I don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, do I have God? Yes. Oh, you didn't accept that last one, did you? Why? Because no. Now follow me closely. In Matthew 15:8-9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Can we say no to that? But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, folks, if you can worship any way you want to, and everybody's right, who does this apply to? Or is Jesus making a false statement? Think about it seriously, folks. Think about it. Remove all prejudice from your mind, all preconceived ideas, and just think for a moment, what does the scripture really say? Can I say no to those things? A lot of people can't. He said it's vain. And that's reading it's very important. And this life being as short as it is, eternity as long as it is, I can't reject that. I'll use one more. I have a lot, but I'm going to use one more. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How's your daily life? Has anybody here this morning, don't raise your hand, but is anybody here this morning that hadn't had much to eat all week? Because you didn't have the money to buy the food. Is anybody here this morning that has suffered in that way? Now, what about the spiritual food? What about seeking Christ first? You know what he said? He said, if you'll seek me first, all those things be added unto you. I want to tell you, many a time over these nearly 80 years, I've seen the time that I didn't know exactly how I was going to pay some debts. One time I saw the time when I didn't know how I was going to get to church, didn't have a car, and didn't have enough money to ride the bus. But the Lord provided. I believe that he'll take care of us. He said he would. And so when we put him first, when we seek him first, he told us that he would do that. So all these things, much more we can say about this morning, but I've talked long enough. I want you to take it. I want you to study it. Don't say, oh, I don't believe that. Just read it. Study it. Think about it. Think about it seriously. And I teach this because I want every person in this house to be saved. I want you to know I don't care who you are this morning. You're here. I would not for the world want you to be lost. And if the Lord asks me right now, I'm going to cause one in your audience to be lost. Which one do you want to be? I'd say, Lord, I can't answer you. I believe that's one time I just have to say no because there's not a person here that I would. No, sir. I want you to know there's not a person in this house that I would say, well, go ahead and take them. They're not this or that or the other. I want you to know I would not wish that on any person. You may be here this morning. You may not be a child of God. Are you going to continue to say no to the Lord? You understand the plan of salvation? You've gone to church maybe all your life. Maybe you haven't gone before. Maybe you know the truth. Don't do anything if you don't know the truth. But would you be prepared to meet him? If he would say, speak to you just now, nobody else heard it, and he said, you better obey the gospel this morning. You better be baptized because I'm coming at 1 o'clock, let's put it that way, and you better do it. Would you do it? No, he's not going to do that. But if he did, what about it? This morning, if you're here, you've never obeyed the gospel. Think about it seriously. If you've heard the word, believe it, repent, make good confession, want to be baptized, name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, remission of sins, I'll take your confession. I'm unable to do the baptizing, but I've got some brethren here that will gladly do it. I've got several here that gladly do it. And they will, and they'll do it scripturally. You can become a child of God. You can add to that faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. And I'll tell you, if you live that, and you live it slow these 60 years or more that I've endeavored to live it, I'll tell you what, you'll never regret not just a single mile, not a single inch or a part of an inch. You won't regret any of it. Because when that old chilly water of death faces you, it'll be a lot easier. Not trying to over-persuade you, but if you're age accountability and you understand, why don't you do it this morning? If you'd like to have our prayers, whether it's for public sins or even just for strength, we'll be glad to pray with you and for you. While we stand, while we sing, our opportunity is yours.